There's no doctor like a cheerful thought for eliminating ills or dis-ease of the body. So cheerful, empowering, and pure thoughts and laughter, I would say, are the best medicines to dissolve dis-ease in your body. And I don't know anybody who wants to live with dis-ease. We want to live with ease. We want to flow through life, to be like water, to welcome change, and to bend in the face of a storm like a bamboo tree. Welcome back to Be Fit with Brian Pruitt. I'm your host, Brian, and I have an awesome episode for you guys today. We are diving into chapter 3 of As a Man Thinketh. So last week, we talked about the effect of thoughts and circumstance. And we talked about the mind, right? Our minds being a garden. And if we want to live a healthy life, we want to thrive, we want to experience this life to the fullest, we have to look at our garden and understand there will be weeds that start growing. And sometimes if we neglect it, they keep getting bigger and harder to pull. So we're better off noticing them early and often and pulling them early and often. And so that way we have fewer weeds and we can live the life that we're called to live. So chapter 3 is the link between your thought life and your physical body. So your thoughts and how they are correlated or directly linked to your physical health, your body. One thing I know to be sure is your body is a temple of God. And number 2, a quote right out of the book is your body is the servant of the mind. So your body is the servant of your mind. So we talked about owning our thoughts, right? We've talked about controlling our thought life and being mindful of it. And then now we're moving on to, look, your body is the servant of your mind. Your body will serve your mind. So if you get the mindset right, the body follows. Now, this was written pre-COVID, right? This is written back, I don't even know the year it was published, but the fact of the matter is this isn't really about the virus. But he writes in this book, look, the sick and unhealthy thoughts that people have express themselves in an unhealthy body. Thoughts of fear can kill. Literally, it can kill over time. So figuratively and literally, thoughts of fear can kill. They can kill your passions, your dreams. They can even kill your physical bodies if you let them. You know, if you live in a state of fear for years, I mean, who's to say the damage you're inflicting on your body, the dis-ease you're experiencing because you're living in that perpetual state of fear. He talks about the people who live in fear of a disease are the people who get it. And again, this is not about what's happening now, because I'm not saying that, but you'd be lying to yourself if you're saying, look, living in a perpetual state of fear, anxiety, high stress, that these things don't have a very damaging effect on your physical health. You'd be naive to say that. So I'm not saying that because you have a disease or you're having a physical ailment, it's directly correlated to your thought life. But again, the point is, and the point that he's making, James Allen in the book, is that we can't expect to have awful, negative, unhealthy thoughts and have a thriving, vibrant, strong, and pure body. And he goes on to say the reason behind this is, look, anxiety, stress, these things we just talked about, they demoralize the body, number one, and then they leave it vulnerable to infection. So it's almost like you're creating an ecosystem that's vulnerable to attack, because it's not a healthy state of conscious, or it's not a healthy state of living. So when a disease does come, when you get a cold, right, or anything, you're more likely to get hit harder if you're not taking care of your thoughts, and then your body suffers. You're not taking care of your body. And again, these diseases will affect you much more drastically. But on the flip side, strong, pure, and happy thoughts build the body up in strength, passion, and grace. So clean thoughts equal clean habits. And it's biblical, this idea. Out of a clean heart comes a clean mind, and therefore a clean body. He goes to say a change of diet won't help the person who won't change their thoughts. So a change of eating habits, let's say, it won't help the person long-term who's not willing to look at his or her thoughts. I see that in so many ways in society, and people I see or talk to or hear about, a lot of people struggle with their view of food. They have unhealthy ways of looking at food. They starve themselves out of punishment. People punish themselves because they went and had that dessert, or they had, you know, the Oreos. That's my guilty pleasure. Oreos, Pop-Tarts. If I ate that majority of the time, I would not be in a great position. But that's something that I definitely cave into. But again, it's the 80-20 rule. I think if majority of the time you're sticking to real, whole, natural foods, I say eating more God food and less man food over processed foods and refined sugars and all that. If that's the majority of your diet, don't be surprised when you feel like crap. But again, going back to the idea of the unhealthy ways of looking at food, people who have those relationships that are unhealthy with food will always struggle. They're always going to struggle because they're not looking at food as fuel, as something our body needs, right? We have to have food, and we have to have the macronutrients in the foods. So I think America especially has such a high percentage of the population eating empty calories, snacks, processed foods, alcohol, beer, all these things that make up the majority of people's diets. It cannot be healthy, and it's not giving your body what it needs. It's one thing to eat those things from time to time, of course, but if that's the majority of the diet, we wonder why we're struggling. We wonder why we don't feel good, and why we feel lethargic and we're not vibrant. I mean, these foods are literally made in a lab, and they're processed in a way to be addicting, right? To be addictive in the chemistry, in the makeup of the actual food. So my biggest piece of advice to people who are just getting into to fitness and health and being mindful is just prioritize God-made food, meat, produce, right? Fruits and vegetables, stuff that you know the ingredients, single ingredients. What's in an apple? It's real simple, right? What's in chicken? And we can talk about chemicals and this and that, but when you prioritize the outskirts of the grocery store, you stick to the produce section, the meats, stuff that you know is a single ingredient or so type of food, and stay away from the middle aisles, the snacks and the bags of chips and the sodas, you're going to be way better off. But yeah, so going back to people who have an unhealthy view of food, they're always going to struggle until they're willing to change their thoughts. Same thing, unfortunately, with body image issues. And God knows Instagram has only exacerbated that problem for females. I think as I get older, and I'm 28, so it's not like I'm a wise old man who's seen it all and has a bunch of wisdom. But I do ask God first thing in the morning. I do ask him for wisdom every single morning, or at least I try to, because I'm thinking, man, if I can get more wisdom like Solomon, I can then make better decisions with my body, with my money, with my business, and I'll be much better off. I'll have more to be able to make and more to give, more importantly. So side note, I think one of the best things you can ask for every single day is the wisdom of God. But the body image issues, it's something that it really sucks that it has to be this way. And again, Instagram has made it worse. Magazines back in the day that made it worse. Unrealistic Photoshop has made it worse. And for the females out there who struggle with it, it really comes down to, I mean, it's not something that is a physical ailment. It's a mindset. It's our thoughts. And it's a real problem for some people. And I would encourage you to get help if you need it. But nothing will change unless you change the mindset. So you'll never get a sense of, oh, I'm good enough, if you don't change the mindset. And we see it, because I see maybe someone who's in incredible shape, but what they see in the mirror is completely different. There's a disconnect. And that's something that you have to do the work internally. You have to talk through it. You have to understand that maybe what you see and what actually reality is different. And then last thing I'll say with the food is, when you can change your mindset from just being a regular person to, oh, I'm an athlete. And if you don't feel like an athlete, then you're an athlete in training. Okay, just like Nike said, if you have a body, you're an athlete. That's pretty freaking profound. I think they nailed that, because when you look at yourself as an athlete or an athlete in training, you tend to pick foods that athletes would choose. You tend to move your body the way athletes would move their body. So it all goes back to identity, which goes back to our thoughts. You see how this is all connected? It's so cool to look at the synergy and look at the way these things are all working together. James Allen goes on to say, when a man makes his thoughts pure, he no longer desires impure food. So how do we age like a champ? Because that's something I want to do. I'm sure that's something you want to do. Again, it's not about looks. It's not about looking a certain way. And if we're putting our identity in how we look and our bodies, our physiques, our beauty, let's say, then it's going to let us down. It's only a matter of time. What's that verse in Proverbs? Charm is deceptive and beauty is fading. It's something like that. I should probably look it up. But the idea is just that. I mean, that's the reality. Our bodies will waste away. From dirt we came, and to dirt we will return one day. So that's not to say don't care about your body. It's actually to say put your identity in something you can't lose and then excel in everything else. From there, you have the freedom to pursue excellence in your physical fitness, to pursue excellence in your business, your family, your marriage, your relationships. So three ways to age like a champ. Got off on a tangent there. Number one is guard your mind. Number two is move your body. And number three is beautify your thoughts. It's that Proverbs popping up again. It's guarding your mind, guarding your heart, because everything you do flows from it. So number one is guarding your mind. Number two is moving your body. An object in motion is much more likely to stay in motion. So when you get people who start moving less and less as time goes on, their bodies will age at a more rapid pace than people who refuse to sit or not move their bodies on a daily basis. So it's like that saying, man, if you don't use it, you lose it. The body has to be, you have to use your body. You have to use your mind in order for it to keep working, because things naturally will waste away if you don't use them. And then if you want to renew your body as time goes on, beautify your thoughts. That's number three, beautify your thought life. Only think about things that build you up. Only think about things that make you feel stronger, that make you feel more like the person you know you are truly, that make you feel empowered. Because the flip side is you listen to the voice that tears you down. You listen to other people that tear you down, that want to make you feel less than and not have you step into that person that you know God has for you. Think about two people in your life who maybe are the same age. They're a little bit older than you. They're the same age, but they look and sound and feel and are completely different. One person that probably has aged worse than the other, they probably have the mindset of, man, getting old sucks. This sucks. Everything's getting worse. Life is tough, man. This aging is no joke. The second person almost guaranteed has a different mindset. They look at life in a way that they're getting better. They're getting more, they're getting wiser as time goes on, more experienced. More opportunities to get better and learn from their past failures. They always think my best days are ahead of me. Even if they're late in their life, they always think, man, I can still make a difference. I can welcome the future. So they have that growth mindset. And James Allen goes on to say, a sour face doesn't come by chance, but it comes by sour thoughts. You have somebody in your life maybe, or see somebody on a movie or whatever, who's got that face that it just looks like they've been through it, right? They've been through something, or they're just negative, and you can see it on their face. And the older we get, that the more apparent that becomes. And what James Allen is saying is, look, that doesn't happen by chance. That guy, that girl has had a habitual mindset of negativity. They've had negative thoughts and sour thoughts throughout their lifetimes. And that manifests itself in a sour face, a sour looking face. Righteous living and thinking, on the other hand, produce a calm and peaceful, softly mellowed like the sun type of face. I love that. James Allen goes on to quote saying, there's no physician like a cheerful thought for dissipating the ills of the body. There's no doctor like a cheerful thought for eliminating ills or dis-ease of the body. So cheerful, empowering, and pure thoughts and laughter, I would say, are the best medicines to dissolve dis-ease in your body. And I don't know anybody who wants to live with dis-ease. We want to live with ease. We want to flow through life, to be like water, to welcome change and to bend in the face of a storm like a bamboo tree. And that can only happen when we take captive every single thought that comes in our life. So disease is a misalignment. It's dis-ease of your spirit. So, but I'm not saying, again, I'm not saying the sickness is all in your head, or if you're sick, you've welcomed that in some way. But all I'm saying is a negative mindset doesn't help. So on this earth and in this side of eternity, I believe we can go closer to heaven or closer to hell. Figuratively, obviously, I think we can live in a state that's more heaven-like. And on the flip side, we can also live in a state that's more hell-like. So what does that hell mindset, that hell-like living look like? And I think it's to live continually in thoughts of ill will, cynicism, suspicion, and envy, James says. It becomes a self-made prison, living in fear, living in cynicism, thinking the world is out to get you, thinking the world is gone crazy, when, man, we're all in this together. We're all just trying to figure it out. But it becomes so easy to point fingers at people and blame and complain and defend and just live in a state of division. I mean, you look at, not to get political, but you look at the news and you look at media, what is it trying to do at the end of the day? It's literally trying to divide and conquer. And if it's not trying to conquer, we can make a case for that. I mean, if you don't think that's happening, that's fine. But you can't tell me that when you look at the news or when you read headlines, that they are not trying to divide us. And that goes for America. It goes for the world. How do you govern people more effectively and more easily? You divide them. Because if we're on the same page, if we realize, man, we all just want very similar things in life. We want freedom. We want the ability to live, to love, to make money, to create meaning, to make beautiful art, to enjoy life. And we realize, man, we're so much more similar than what people want us to believe. That's when we become powerful. That's when we can really change the state of our society, I believe. So if negativity, cynicism, division is a hell-like state, then, and that's a self-made prison, what does it look like to live in a heavenly state? And what James says is it's to think well of all people, to be cheerful with all, and to patiently learn to find the good in all. Such unselfish thoughts are the very portals of heaven. And to live day by day in thoughts of peace toward every creature will bring abounding peace to their possessor. And as I conclude this episode, he has an idea that's really cool. And it's that the thought is the fountain of action, life, and manifestation. Make the fountain pure and all will be pure. So guys, I'm with you. Look, I've been in a situation most of my life where I've blamed, complained, defend. I've lived in a hellish state mentally. I have not taken my thoughts seriously, haven't been aware, haven't lived mindfully. So if you're in that situation now, the good news is the best is yet to come. And once you change your mindset, it becomes easier to get in the habit of getting into that positive mindset. And that affects your body, that affects your health, your physical health. So if you've neglected the power of your thought in relation to your body, your mindset, your health in general, there's three steps you can take. Step one is awareness. That's being mindful. It's realizing, look, maybe I can work on this. And I'd be lying if I told you that I'm never that guy, because I look at my week to week and I know certain days, certain times of days, and depending on what happens to me, I can easily fall back into that state of negativity, cynicism, division, and all of that. So step one is awareness. Step two is intentional action. I wrote down intentionality, but the reality is we have to take action with purpose. And then step three is repetition. So it's practicing, because these thoughts become behaviors, and those become habits. And the habits equal our character. So our thoughts become behaviors, which become habits, which become who we are. So what I would recommend is have some action steps. Take inventory of your life. Take inventory of your thoughts. Journal. Review your day. Become aware of how you think and process stuff. And then I don't think it's good enough to eliminate these negative thoughts. You have to replace them with good, healthy, uplifting, and positive thoughts. So for me, it's starting my day in prayer. It's starting my day reading scripture. It's starting my day intentionally getting my mindset in a fixed way, literally setting my mind. And I think that's where the mindset idea comes from. It's setting my mind up for success in my day. That way, man, I don't care what comes my way, right? Peace isn't the absence of problems. It's the absolute promise that God's presence will be with us in the midst of it. My pastor, Chad Fisher, talked about that one time in a sermon. So peace isn't the absence of problems in our life, but it's the absolute promise of God's presence in the midst of it. So I say that to say, if my mindset is set up in a way, right? If I set my mind up in a way that I can then bend like a bamboo tree in the storm, I'm rooted, I'm anchored, then I can have more problems than what I'm used to and still thrive, still overcome. And it all goes back to my mindset, my thought life. And then inevitably, like we talked about in this episode, that will affect my physical health. So boom, there you have it. That is the episode. That is chapter 3 of As a Man Thinketh, the effect of thought on our bodies. So I hope you guys enjoyed it. This book has completely changed my life. Like I said, I've taken my BeFit clients through this book, and it is absolutely life-changing. But like with anything, if you just go through the motions and you know everything, you have the knowledge, it's great. The awareness is awesome. But knowledge put into practice, put into action, that's when the magic happens. So that wraps up chapter 3, this episode of As a Man Thinketh. Guys, if you liked this episode, please share it with a friend. Please share it with somebody who you know could benefit. And I'm excited to dive into more of this book, to bring on more guests. I have 2 guests in mind, my wife and a friend named Ashley. I will be posting here really soon. So guys, please like, rate, review, share with a friend, message me on Instagram, say what's up, tell me what you loved about the episode. But until then, guys, be positive, be intentional, and be fit. See you guys next time.